Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey,
hello everyone.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
It's 2017.
2017, keeping it clean.
All right, the more eagle-eared among you will notice that we basically ran around to live out space and we're running back. But
yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
We're thinking of you.
Yes.
As far as running commentary is concerned.
This is the first
this
run.
This is it.
Yes.
This is the new year.
We are off into the new year. Did you have good news, Eve, Rob?
Oh, I mean, that gig in Bath changed my life.
Amazing, isn't it?
We won't be able to do this anymore because I'll be in LA.
Yeah. To get that many standing ovations, unprecedented.
Oh, God, I nearly died. I didn't trip on that.
Wow.
We've been talking for a while, haven't we, about marathon training.
Yes.
But I suppose as January kicks in, I mean, whether you're training for a marathon or... I just bet there's a few people out there who've made New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
I think we need to look at this from both sides. You know, on the one hand, we need to know what we need to do to get the optimum. You know, what are you going to do to get your sub 3 on April the 23rd or whatever it is?
Yes, yes.
But equally, what tips would we give someone who goes out for their first run this week and goes, oh, I didn't enjoy that very much? You know.
It would be, keep it gentle, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Run, walk, soft surfaces.
Yep.
Just don't thrush yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
run,
make
walking
it enjoyable.
Is great. We can find lots of people who back up on that. And just mixing up the pace actually is good at both ends.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that you've got any pace when you're just starting running, you're just gradually extending by you know 2-3 and then 5 minutes. Just your runs, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think if you can set a distance that you can just about achieve and do that and then stop, that's fine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you want to walk up to the park, doesn't matter what park, and run around the park and walk home, and the last little bit of the park is a bit tough, that's perfect, isn't
that's
it?
That's okay, yeah. That's okay.
Don't try and do more than that. And if you can't make it, stop and go back the next time.
Yes.
Try and make it then.
Just incremental.
Yeah.
That's the cornerstone of any training program, is it? It's just... progression.
Yes.
Incrementally more. If you want to get fitter and fitter, you just run a little bit more, don't you?
That's right. And I think as we are marathon training, I think maybe for the first time last year, in 2016, I really made a concerted effort to run a little bit further every week in the summer.
Yes, in the build-up
to York.
For York. Yes.
And it was just so good to get my head around.
Yeah.
Because like you say, I didn't do too much.
No.
I kind of started saying, well, that's good. I ran a bit less than usual that week, so that's about 20.
Right.
So and then the next week, I was like, oh, 21. That's good. You know, rather than going, I must go out and run really, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
And the other thing
just noticing. Yeah.
And with a long, when you're training for a long run, you get this kind of thing of, oh, I did quite a long run there, so it's okay if I need to go and do a shorter run the day after tomorrow.
Yes, yeah.
So the mileage is kind of overarching.
I think you're a... I mean, I sort of... I did a few more miles up to York. I'm looking to I think you really notice a difference when you pile a few more miles on.
Yeah.
Just in that strength and sort of running economy, just sort of your body getting used to it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I think that if I would get more miles in if I didn't feel like that it would, the risk of counterproductive is quite bad.
Yeah, it's always that balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
As many miles as possible without getting injured.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you lose so much when you get injured.
So in the running slow and taking it easier are important as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I got distracted by that madness dog.
Yeah.
Well, I'll come back to that.
We're coming to get up against the geese again.
Yeah, watch out.
The goose, the geese. Yeah, this is the big geese standoff.
Quite a lot of geese.
Would that be classified as a gang?
These are a gang of geese.
A gaggle of geese?
Actually,
is it a gaggle?
If you want the facts.
A gaggle?
It's a gaggle of geese.
A gaggle of geese.
And if it was in the sky, it would be a skein of geese.
Right. And then mixing with the pigeons, I see. The geese and the pigeons.
Yeah, then it's a gidgeon. It's a gidgeon of
a
geese.
A gidgeon of pigeons.
And geese.
And geese. And what are these birds there, Rob?
They're seagulls. They're common gulls.
They're just seagulls.
They're not common gulls, actually. They're...
Are they attacking the duck there? What's happening with this duck here?
I don't know what that is.
Right.
These seagulls, you see the little black bit behind the ear?
Right.
That's going to be a full black face come the summer.
Right.
They change backs and forwards, which is a lot of hassle, isn't it?
And that duck's just chilling.
Yeah, illing and a chilling.
The duck's just kicking back.
Now, listen, I've got a big question for you.
Go on, then.
What are you going to be drinking soon now in April?
Well, this comes to my... This sub-3 thing. I know that there's a belief that I've only got 4 minutes to lose, so it'll really be... It should be relatively... easy for me to beat 3 hours.
Well, yeah.
Sort of. But I'm kind of aware that... Sorry, cheers. I'm kind of aware that that's about 240 seconds. I've broken it down. I've done the maths. It's nearly 10 seconds a mile.
Yeah.
To find.
That's right.
It's a bit of time. It's a bit of time.
It's not nothing.
It's not nothing. And the faster you get, the harder it gets to get... Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, I was just going to say, that is... That 3 minutes is, or was it 4 minutes? That 4 minutes is off a marathon you ran really well when
yes,
you were really
absolutely.
Fit.
Really, I was just a nice balance of trained but not overtrained. Because I like to line up feeling fresh.
Now, I don't think you can run it better, so you'll have to get fitter.
Yes. And one easy way to do that physically, I'm paraphrasing. Mike Tyson, who said the hardest thing is the easiest thing, sacrifice.
Yeah, like you might want to sacrifice your ear to him.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Evander Holyfield sacrificed his ear. But
thanks, Mike. You're welcome. Beg your pardon. Yeah.
Thanks, Evander.
Take the mickey out of Mike Tyson.
an easy thing to just for me to basically get fitter.
Yeah.
It's just not booze for a few months.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's that idea of... going all in, doing everything possible to do it. So, and part of that is trying to have a few months without boozing.
Yeah.
Which is no mean feat if I do it, because I've never done it in my adult life.
Yeah.
So to say that's so easy, isn't it?
And also, you know...
So easy to give up booze in your mind, isn't it?
We were talking before about...
Until you see it.
You know, not wanting to be too... Not giving too much of ourselves to the running.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny how... You know, a year ago, you were like, I don't know if I have time to train for a marathon. But it's funny how maybe it's just something I convince myself of.
Yeah.
But I put hours a week into running, you know, a significant portion of the week. But I always find that it benefits everything else.
Yes.
But equally, we in particular don't want it to take over our lives. And I think the problem with giving up drinking purely for running is that one Tuesday evening or one Sunday evening on your part, you think to yourself, well...
Yeah,
running me doesn't want to drink, but I want to drink.
Yes, yeah. I suppose I might be saying, contemplating putting running me at the forefront for a few months as an experiment just to find out.
Yeah.
Because I'm so close to the sub-3.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know it's a bit...
Like, you're looking around for a button you haven't pressed that you can press.
Yeah,
to give you a little advantage.
One of those is booze, and also one of those is upper body work and exercise.
Yes.
And I have to do that. I'm always saying I'm going to do it and never do
well,
it.
Well, hey, someone
Why
asked
just find a way
day,
of doing it?
Someone asked online, they're saying we always talk about my stuff, and someone asked what my stuff is, so
yeah.
What my little regime is. So I'm going to tell you right now.
Go on, then.
Right. First of all, I've got these perfect push-up, press-up things.
Yeah.
That make it look like you're climbing up the outside of a building in Superman the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the grips, the hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they twist my hand position through 90 degrees.
Right.
While I'm doing my press-ups.
Right.
Which in turn, it just gives really good form. Really good form to my press-ups.
Right.
And you can feel it's that brilliant thing.
Get your triceps going, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It works up the outside of your arms, which in turn, you can feel that kind of plank position. You want to make your body from the back of your head to the back of your heels.
Right.
Into like a solid board.
Yeah.
And it simultaneously helps you to do that well.
Right.
And makes the press-ups really difficult.
Right.
But you know they're good ones.
Yes.
You feel like they're difficult because you're doing them right.
Right, okay.
So that's a great balance.
Yeah. And you do a lot though, don't you?
Yeah, I do loads because I do 30 of those, right?
Right.
And that's tough, you know, it never gets much easier. I always get to 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30.
That's difficult, yeah.
Oof, tough.
Yeah.
But it's weird because, again, it shows what a good exercise it is because I can then repeat that pretty much ad infinitum, you know?
Right.
And feeling like that's getting more and more difficult is a psychological red herring.
Yeah.
So I do 10 repetitions of the 30.
Wow.
And really, wow. If I think about it, the 10th rep isn't any harder than the first one.
Wow.
I can convince myself it is, but it's like when you run and you're near the finish.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, I don't know if I can make it. And you think, if there wasn't a finish line, could I actually carry on?
Yes.
You know that psychology?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the press-ups.
That's amazing. So that's 30,000 press-ups.
That's it. All right, Hawking. You're on top of this maths.
That is a lot of press-ups, though. 300, isn't it? Yeah. That's a lot of press-ups. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know I've done them, you know.
Yeah.
And then, funnily enough, the other side of that coin is I then plank. I give myself a minute.
Right.
And then I plank for 3 minutes.
Right.
And that's harder.
Yeah.
Just 3 little minutes planking.
That's
and
tough.
If I drop the ball, if I'm not fit, if I'm hungover, if I didn't do all my planking last week, I can't make the 3 minutes.
Right.
The ability to do it just drops off.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Because it's so tough, yeah.
So it's a great barometer of how fit I am.
Right.
And if anyone says, hey, just plank for a minute, and then 30 seconds a week, you know,
it's
and you're thinking
easy,
that in terms of your New Year's resolution, and you're planning to get to 7 minutes or 10 minutes, you'll be lucky.
Yes, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Add 15 seconds at a time, and then when it gets hard, stay there.
Yeah.
Although some people say that the exercise isn't that good, you know, that you do better to do lots of minute ones and
right.
sideways ones and stuff.
What, on the planking?
On the planking, you can lie sideways. I just do the
straight. You do your classic,
ones.
Yeah.
But I think that the hanging in there psychology of it is good.
It's good for
training.
You. Yeah,
it's
I think so. I think that's one thing that I've realised is that psychological thing of just preparing that it's going to be difficult.
Yeah. Exactly.
And just accepting that, not fighting it.
No, and one of the really nice things about that when you're running, and again, hopefully I really think this will apply to anyone who's running for fitness, whether it's fitness for a marathon or just fitter than you were.
Yeah.
Is when the run is hard and you carry on, that's great
gives
training.
You a lot of strength, yeah.
You know, it's like sometimes if you, when we're running and it's for whatever reason, like if I skip breakfast because I want to go for a run and then don't get out till quite late on,
yeah,
I'm really hungry, really tired, I've had too much coffee, I think good, this is good training for the second half of the marathon.
Yes. Yeah.
Without having to do the first half.
Well, that's one thing that I do, that I did nick off the Mickey D extreme training tips.
Yeah.
Is doing long runs on no food.
Yeah.
And I did that a bit before York.
I don't know if we can really recommend it.
Well, I'm just saying if you want to be, you know, get close to. Cheers, mate. If you want to get close to 3 hours.
Yeah.
I found it really useful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because your body, it's about fuels and isn't it? How your body catalyses stuff into energy or whatever.
Well, let's talk about this. These are things that you wouldn't necessarily.
Cheers,
bye-bye.
Mate.
That's a good guy.
Bless him.
Legend. I'm not going to get the photo up in time. That's someone who shouted to us to keep going.
Yeah.
Good guy. He's a legend.
Yeah.
Things that, you know, don't try this at home tips, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a sort of extreme edge, looking for how we're going to survive the 20 to 24 mile stage of a marathon.
But
you
equally,
know, it's kind of, You're right, it is not to be tried at home, unless you're an experienced runner.
And you trust yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I have cut into running as a recovering fat bloke trying to get and keep the weight off. And I will tell you that if I'm running anything less than 10 miles, I never eat before I run.
Right, okay.
And I always take green tea on board, have a green tea tablet.
Right.
And that, I've been in the lab where they proved that you burn 30% more body fat.
Really?
With green tea on board.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
that's a good book. That's a good tip.
And I do, and these days, because you've run a few marathons and stuff, I've got a better idea about a slow burn, foods and carb loading.
Right.
So I'll use, if I have a good dinner of brown rice.
Right.
Then I know that the next day, not just brown rice.
Yeah.
Brown rice and protein, and you know, things of that taste of anything.
Right. Yeah.
Then the next day, I know that I've still got that, I'm still burning it, so not having breakfast isn't going to happen.
Yes, yeah.
And brown rice and oats, kind of whole grain things like that, really do work. You really can tell the difference.
Yeah. You just find out more about your body, don't you, the longer you run?
Yes.
And what it needs and stuff.
Yeah. Beetroot and lemon juice I also have. You got off Mickey D.
Yes, yeah. And I got...
Mickey D, who's had a baby, by the way.
Yes.
Mickey and Boo have had
Buddy Barnes.
Second baby called Buddy. Congratulations.
Buddy Barnes, that's a great name for an ultra runner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Buddy Barnes.
Particularly one in a comic strip.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So...
I got, in terms of eating, I got malt loaf off Vassos.
Yes.
I tried that before York, and you never know whether that's a thing or whatever. But it was just nice to have on the morning.
Well, the nice thing about these things is anything like the planking is if it's not working for you physically and it's still working for you psychologically,
yeah,
stay with it.
Yeah.
So my exercises, right? I do the round of the press-ups.
Your press-ups, your planking.
I stretch out the back of my legs.
Right.
It's a hard one to do down the ears, but I do, I put my hands out in front of me on the wall.
Right.
And put my knee forward and I stretch out so that my back heel is, my legs about as far back as it can go where I can comfortably have the heel on the floor.
Right, okay.
Hold that for 30 seconds.
Wow.
And that stretches the two muscles at the top of the back of the calf.
Right.
Do that on both sides, 30 seconds. Then, do a little press up.
Right.
Come back and do the same thing, but I shorten it, right?
Yeah.
So my hands are on the wall, but I'm kind of almost just standing up.
Okay.
And my feet are only a half foot's length apart.
Yeah.
And I kind of squat down onto my front knee.
Yeah.
Until I can feel it in the back of the back leg.
Right.
And that stretches the two muscles at the bottom of the back of my calf.
Okay.
30 seconds either side. Do that thing where you pull your foot up behind your bum.
Yeah, the quadricep. Yeah.
30 seconds either side. Do that thing where you put your foot up in front of you and try and stretch out the back of your leg and stand really straight.
Okay.
You know, like if I put my foot on
your classic thing, hamstring.
Exactly.
Hamstrings, yeah.
Because that's terrible for me. Look at me trying to get my foot on top of this fence. Won't do it.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I'm pathetic.
I'm glad you're pathetic. Put your foot up as so we can both be
pathetic.
In. Try and do this better than us. You might do. But that was it. That was a really good one. You look for the stretch you need to do, you know, because that's a stretch I never used to do.
Yeah.
And when I first started doing it, I was like, oh my God. Because I just don't bend in the middle at all.
Yeah.
You know when you stretch down to touch your toes? My hands get down to about my knees.
Yes, same here.
So,
but a lot of that, is that to do with lower back and stuff as well? And just,
yeah, I don't know. And it's also stuff which, if you don't attend to it when you're a kid,
yes,
it's never going to be great.
Yeah.
But you can make it better.
Yes.
And the last leg stretch I do is I lie on my back and then I put one knee up and then fold it right down to the floor to the side to stretch out like my groin.
They're really good. Yeah, that's a really good one. And of course, if you do get into doing these, it's going to make your body better, but it's going to make you a bit faster because you get more out of every stride.
That's right, absolutely.
You just get more out of your running, literally.
Yeah, well, I didn't know until 2016.
Right.
That, you know, because if I'm honest, after I lost weight, I was just trying to tone up my upper body so I could look nice.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go to the Charles Atlas.
Yeah.
It's not so I can go down to the beach, but, you know, it's nice to be able to go to the changing room in a shop and not despise yourself.
Of course, yeah. Yes,
so,
yeah.
You know, so it's all vanity, really. And it was only after my rib injury and my weakness in London that I realised that all these press-ups and planking and now light weights action, they help the running.
They really do.
And if you put the time in... Also, I find, see, I spent a long time on this, as it's becoming clear. But The stretching is dull. Yeah. So if you do it with the impact of some slightly tougher press-ups and things, it actually makes the whole session a little bit more interesting.
And it's the... I'm not... It's, again, sorry to kind of bring it back to the last stages of the marathon.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you it all gets a bit wally, you've hit the wall, your form starts to go.
Yeah.
It's your arms carry you through.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I find myself over-exaggerating the arms.
That's so important. That's
as a way of rocking my body to keep me going.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what you need to do is curate your style. You know, run really well. And if you're, when you're getting tired, recognise that when you start running badly.
Yeah.
And I think that's really worth doing. I mean, Jason Byrne said that, didn't he? He said that when he did a New York Marathon, his head was down.
Yeah.
And it was pulling the muscles up in the back of his legs.
Right.
And they turned to concrete.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it was medical.
Yeah.
But equally, you know, so you can do that if you remember to lift your head up and get your hands up. Or do whatever you need to do to reset your running style to its best.
Just to get the most out of yourself in that moment.
But conversely, if you've done loads of running, and you know what it feels like to carry on running when you're tired.
Yes.
You're less likely to lose style.
Yeah.
You're less likely to have to do that with your front brain.
It's funny that I find just my style changes during a marathon.
Really?
Just subtle changes. As you still try to run fast when you're knackered, and it just all gets a bit lower and a bit more scuttly.
Yeah.
The further along I go, until it just tightens up totally, then I'm kind of swinging with my arms.
Sometimes you get down really low, like in The Exorcist, and you're just going like sideways.
Yeah, yeah. Just slithering.
So, I also do, you know, that stretch where you link your fingers together.
Right.
And put them out in front of you and drop your shoulders down.
Yeah, that's a good
stretch
one.
Stretch out your arms, you do that.
Yeah.
And then I do it behind me.
Right.
Fingers behind me, arms straight, link together, lift up those arms to stretch out my chest. I used to do that looking up at the ceiling. Okay. That's all kinds of wrong.
Right.
You've got to keep your head straight, look forward, keep your body in balance, keep your shoulders down. And then I do that one where you pull your opposite elbow across your chest.
Yes.
To stretch the back of your shoulder.
And are these sort of classic static stretches?
Yeah, just standing stretches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
30 seconds each side twice every time.
Right,
and now I've got 5K barbells. They're new. I got my birthday, but I really like them. I'm trying to just build up all that shoulder and chest.
Awesome.
A, like you say, loosen it up and make it stretchy. And B, because it is very repetitive, I always do the same thing.
Right.
And trying to kind of shade in all the muscles that aren't getting stretched, you know?
Right.
I basically got the weights to exercise the muscles that don't get exercised by the press-ups and the planking. So I'll let you know how that goes. Oh, hello.
Bit of a feisty.
That was a
bit of a feisty visitor.
Yeah. You nearly took a little bit of a canine in the ankle there.
Yeah, yeah. You never know whether they're going to pounce or not.
I don't know if you heard it, but they'll quote that dog.
Yeah.
It said... Mind you, the lady was really apologetic, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, she couldn't do enough of nothing.
You really caught my sarcasm ball there. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
There you go. That's you running off down there. Look at that. Off into 2017.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, listen.
He's not normally like that.
What's that?
The dog. He's not normally...
He's not...
Oh, he's fine.
He will
he's friendly.
Yeah. He's just pleased to see you.
It's only a nip.
Now, you know we asked for marathon tips.
Yeah.
And we were looking for, particularly unusual ones. Well, Tucker sent us some on Twitter.
Yes.
Which awesome. I'm going to attempt to...
read while
access
running.
While we're running. Now, at first when I looked at this, I thought, well, yeah, some of this is quite formal and straightforward stuff, but
right.
It's a very useful discussion document, so thank you, Tucker.
Cheers, Tucker.
I mean, if this doesn't happen, it will be just Tucker's luck, won't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, yeah, those are quite small words. We're just heading northwest, by the way, up through... I don't quite know. I know exactly where we are. That's the bottom of Broadway Market. So yeah. We're just near London Fields. Now, first marathon tip, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
Have a training plan that works for you.
Like
ask
it.
Yourself how many times a week you can realistically run.
Good idea.
That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Really good. Particularly, include realistically. I was talking to a friend yesterday about running first thing in the morning or after work.
Yeah.
When you've got like a day job. It's really tough.
It is.
You've really got to plan this stuff in.
Yeah.
Don't do too much too soon.
Like it.
Increase your thing gradually, incrementally, 10% a week.
Yes. Almost
10%, we talked about that. That's really good. Understand something. I can't understand it. Understand your pace. The marathon is completely different to anything you've done before. So basically, it's all about don't go off too fast in the marathon.
Absolutely, yeah.
There was one here that I hadn't thought of, which I really liked, which is even on your longest run or longer runs, try not to run for more than 3 hours unless you have to. Because you know it.
That's interesting.
We've talked about it before, how, impact on your body is as much about time spent money running as distance.
Yes, yeah.
So if you run a fast marathon, recovery is much easier. We know there's some experience, but that's true. You should really include that in your training as well. If you are going to be running 20 miles, it's going to take you 4 hours. Only do it. Don't do it too often.
Absolutely.
Don't do it too close to the big day.
Absolutely, yeah. But the very 3 weeks before maximum, you don't want to do anything in the last 3 weeks. It's going to take your legs away for the marathon.
Yeah.
And anything over 3 hours, it's really hard work. But it's good training in terms of like, what am I going to drink and am I going to do gels and stuff?
Those
runs are an opportunity to experiment with.
Absolutely.
Your fueling during the race, you know.
I mean, you often hear that one that's like, don't run a marathon in your shoes.
Yeah.
But Tucker specifies, make sure your shoes have gone about 100 miles, which is good. That's valid.
Well, I'm not really...
You did Yorkshire in brand new
shoes. I might have to disagree with Tucker.
You've broken that one.
Yeah, I kind of... I did a... There were a type of shoe that I'd worn before.
Yeah.
I went for a very short run in the days before the marathon.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that bounce of a new shoe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very indulgent, isn't it?
I think if you're absolutely confident that they are going to fit.
Yes.
Not just at the beginning, but throughout.
Yeah.
I think the reason it's a bit of a vice is because people just dive in and do new shoes.
Yes, yeah.
And the wrong shoes are going to ruin your day.
Yeah, they will do, absolutely.
But it's true. You want a balancing act. You need shoes that are definitely going to fit you and work.
Yeah.
But you need good soft shoes that aren't worn out.
Yeah, you need a bit of bounce.
I think that it's the don't wear a better new pair of shoes is most useful as a metaphor.
Right.
Don't try something brand new.
On the day. Yes, yeah.
If the first time you've ever had a carb gel is 10 miles into a marathon,
don't do it. No.
They really mess with your guts.
Yeah, they can do, absolutely.
Well, maybe they won't, but
they absolutely can, yeah.
So, and include that on the training runs.
Yeah.
But I found, I used to think, I'll tick off a 10, and a 13, and a 16, and a 20.
Right.
Over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And it has to be over a long period of time, because I always know I've done them, you've got to kind of recover.
Yeah.
But equally, I think I've shifted more recently to factoring that in, but running further and further every week. I think you can, and Tucker says this as well, you can over taper You said something really good, which is when you get right near the marathon, go out running as often as you normally would. But just don't run as fast.
But run
or
a lot
far.
Less, yes, yeah.
I think that's exactly the way
to
do it.
I think it is, right, yeah, because you want to keep your body in some kind of rhythm of movement, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't.
And if the worst really can happen, you kind of, you know how it is with jobs and school and things. Sometimes if you've been working hard and you take a break, you suddenly get a cold.
Your body
shuts
down.
Mate had 6 weeks ago, you know.
Yeah, the taper's quite a stressful process, isn't it? Because you can often find yourself a bit tired at the start of it.
Yeah.
And then by the end, hopefully, if you do it right, your body can't wait to get going.
Exactly.
That's something that you get better as you get a bit older.
That's right.
A bit more experience, rather. But yeah, I mean, I'll do a longish run 10 days before a marathon. Not long, but I'll do like a 12 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to keep that endurance or that knowledge of endurance in your body, you know.
That's right. And conversely, I think that last run, the one maybe 2 days, 3 days out from the marathon, if you do a really short one, you really want to leave your body kind of going, oh, I thought we were going for a run.
Yes, yeah, totally.
You know, so it's really...
Totally.
So you've got to have a point of kind of springy fitness for that to have any effect.
Yes, yeah.
It feels like you're on holiday.
It's good.
Carb loading is just pizza.
Again, with the training, it's like you earn your taper.
Yeah.
A good taper, you think, I've earned this.
Yes.
Because often, if my training's been haphazard, I've kind of ended up tapering the taper.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, like, I'll just stick a long run in the middle of the taper.
Yeah.
And that's no good. You want to earn it, you know.
Exactly. I mean, that's it, isn't it? You want to basically feel like you're taking a precision tooled instrument that's ready to go.
Yeah.
And not using it that much, rather than going on holiday after all that running.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. You've still got the old race. And I do little... I do a little bit of visualisation stuff as well. Not a lot, but in the week before, I'll just think...
Use a virtual reality headset.
Yeah, I do it and I go to Japan. I never told you about this. My trips to Tokyo. No, I just think how I'm going to feel...
It's Scarlett Johansson there.
Yeah. I think how I'm going to feel at certain... All right, mate, at certain parts of the marathon.
Yeah.
Just visualise, just visualise relaxing.
That's right.
At those moments, you know, and enjoying it,
yes.
As opposed to, you know, torment. Because we break it down a bit differently, don't we? The stages.
Yeah, yeah. But also, you can break it down in any way you want. Just make sure you think about it. Be ready.
Yes.
Be on the back foot in some way for when you're not feeling as great as you thought you were going to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be prepared to change your plan.
Absolutely.
Expect it to be hard.
Yeah.
Expect the unexpected. Because it will happen.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the overarching thing that we're both finding from slightly different levels of fitness, and also hopefully would apply to different people, to people running the first time, people running fast or slow, is don't fight it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a battle. If you kind of go into the marathon with that kind of all the muscles in the side of your neck tight, either in real life or just psychologically.
You're a bit tense already. Win. Yeah.
You've got to roll with it.
Well, we're a bit sort of... I think we're both fairly zen like that.
Yeah.
But I also found that more effective way of dealing with tough stages. Instead of, like, bullying through extreme fatigue, just accepting that this is where you're at.
Yeah.
So don't spend energy fighting what you're already fighting.
Yes.
You're already knackered. Don't fight it. Just be knackered.
And
keep running. I mean, I always keep running, but...
Your body's fighting to fight, so you don't have to fight it.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Find some way of enjoying it, whether it might be a mantra, it might be an image of where you want to be after the marathon.
A good song.
It might be someone you're...
Daydreaming about a pint of lager.
Yeah, it might be someone you love, or it might be some memory or something.
Yeah.
And just...
And remember this, that a little jump... It only takes a moment. That thing where you think, I'm locked into this.
Yeah.
This is going to be awful. This next 10 miles is going to stretch
it
out
can change.
To a millennium.
Yeah.
One little something, one friend at the side of the road, one opal fruit.
Yeah.
Gosh, oh man, Starburst.
Yes, yeah.
You know, not even a song, one good guitar riff or a funny sign.
Yeah.
You'll snap out of it completely.
Yes, yeah.
You can completely reset at any time. And again, that's not just marathons.
Yeah.
That's any run.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling it... You know, distract yourself. Stop for a second, but start again.
And I normally find as well, if I have gone through a bad patch, that the last mile and a half or so. I'm sort of all right.
Yeah, because you've done it.
Because you're coming into the end, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, wow, I'm not that tired. It's actually really good fun, this, you know.
Yeah. So, okay. These are the two questions, right? One,
yeah.
Dodgy marathon tips. Ones that people might not necessarily agree with. And two, tips for running runs that aren't marathons. Right, so dodgy tips.
Yeah.
People advise against ibuprofen. Don't right. take it.
Yeah.
Right? And because it's bad for your stomach lining,
yes,
it can
yeah,
trigger
yeah.
asthma.
Yeah.
It's contraindicated in a number of ways. Also, they say you shouldn't eat ibuprofen. Eat.
Right.
Take ibuprofen on an empty stomach.
Right.
Nevertheless, I've been known to take a painkiller before a long run.
Yes, yeah, I remember you saying, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been fine.
Yes.
I think there's that thing of you don't need to drink that much either.
No.
I think something people tend to, as part of that tent pre-race thing, they tend to drink way too much.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I like drinking a little often when I'm running a marathon.
Well, someone said it at the beginning of the Hackney Half when I did it. Drink to thirst.
Yes, yeah.
It's fantastic advice. It
yeah.
sounds so basic, but you get so obsessed with this stuff, being like, oh, I'll have a bottle of water at the water station.
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah.
That's right.
I just like a little often. I mean, you don't want to wait till you're really thirsty because it's a bit too late then.
No, no.
It's
exactly.
just...
Be aware of it.
Yeah.
Monitor your thirst.
Yeah.
And think about where the water's going to come from.
Yes.
And this is lovely stuff when you're training. Because if you train with your snacks and your waters and things, then on the day of a marathon, it becomes so much easier.
Yeah.
Because they've done it all for you.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, this is where we come back up off the canal again.
Right, cool.
I do love a run, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Let's get me and you on the canal.
I love that. I love that stage of a marathon, though, where you're chugging along and taking a bottle of water at the water station, having a little swig, and then sort of splashing. I always splash it on the back of my legs to kind of
yeah
to calm the
water you're splashing.
Yeah, yeah, to calm the hamstrings down.
Well, let's do this.
Like,
what are you going to do? What is your plan for going to the toilet in the London Marathon?
My plan is not to drink so much before the race.
Right, so you don't desperately need a wee.
Because that was York. I obviously drank a little bit too much before.
Yeah.
York was the scene of my urinary release.
I'm sure many of the listeners, you know, I always profess disgust. But I have to say, your commitment is impressive.
I mean, put it this way. There's no way I'm missing sub 3 hours of the marathon because I need the toilet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just draw your own conclusions.
You impress all of us.
Well, no, I impress, disgust, revolt. If it comes down to... there's no way I'm stopping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's
not
just...
Even
that's
for
just
one, you're not going to go in the booth for 1 week. You're
no,
either,
absolutely not.
You're
no.
either letting it go or you're holding it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And holding it's probably not...
Because you've got 240 seconds to find.
Yeah.
And a week can take...
I can't spend...
I can wait in less than 30 seconds. So that's...
Mate.
That's a lot of seconds.
It's half a minute. Yeah. That's a second a mile.
Yeah, and...
I can't be doing that.
And you could probably do a bit of help.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy at the bus stop coughing like it was
yeah,
the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you are genuinely competing with a marathon where you didn't stop.
Yes.
So if you start stopping...
Yeah, I can't stop. I mean, the thing about York was great because there wasn't many people around. So
yeah.
I could actually do it and no one noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
I was on my own just running through country roads.
Oh, we noticed.
London's a bit more public.
Yeah.
Look at that bloke obviously going to the toilet. So I'll have to mask it with sponges and water.
Yeah. Time it to
There'll be
go
a bit of that.
The showers.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So we'll wait. Hopefully it won't reach that.
But for me, that's...
The feeling of release, though, is amazing.
Quite excited about this. It's like Dumb and Dumber.
Yes. Yeah. We'll
thanks for sharing.
We'll see how that goes.
And have you decided whether you're doing New York or not yet?
I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. I like New York because...
I like New York in June. How about you?
Yeah. It's obviously a great experience.
I like a Gershwin tune.
To do New York.
How about you?
Like... but the... It's very expensive.
Right.
To go there.
Yeah.
And it sort of depends. I'm sort of not going to know how I feel about New York till I've done London, really.
Yeah.
I might do London and do it quickly and think, do you know what? I want to try and get faster this year again.
Yeah, or you might think, that's it. That's the best marathon I'm going to run.
That's my story. Let's just chill out and do New York.
Stuck forever or be an ultra.
Yeah. So I don't know what to do because I'm sure you've got to enter New York before March or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
So you want to do New York?
I'm doing it.
You're doing New York, right?
Yeah. So that's something to think about. I mean,
yeah,
I
that'll be amazing. I've heard it's an incredible marathon.
I think running commentary want you to do it. So, well, we're not going to make you do it if it's not the right thing.
I'm gonna do New York.
I am going to make you do the crouching 10K.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to miss that one. I've got a couple of cross-country races on the agenda in the next couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah, where are they?
Parliament Hill Fields and...
Same one you did before?
Well, no, this is the kind of Southern Cross-Country Championships. It's 9 miles of cross-country. That's going to be pretty tricky.
I love the way it's 9 miles. It's just it's an odd amount of miles,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit like Harry Potter. Yeah. So, yeah, how far do you run? 9.
Yeah.
And then you do twice as far, which is 17.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Here we go, look.
That's a good train.
I'm less excited about going to New York since Donald Trump becoming president-elect, if I'm honest. I don't think it will necessarily change things on the ground, but, you know.
I don't think it will. It's funny, though, because I was chatting to a comic, and he was saying... He was talking about not going to America because they'd elected Trump. That seems a very odd way to perceive things.
I mean, it doesn't...
America didn't... You know,
not going around his house.
I mean, it's great. I mean, it's... There's a lot of people who didn't elect Trump.
That's right.
It's a big country.
Really a lot.
It's like, it's a fantastic country.
It's the same as people who are unhappy about whatever it might be in Britain, kind of not being happy about people being happy.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you watch Strictly Come Dancing while Theresa May's Prime Minister? The two things aren't directly linked.
Yeah, what are you on about? It's absolute lunacy.
Because we're all still getting up and going to work and school every day.
And I'll tell you what, America... He's bigger than Trump. America will outlive Trump.
I don't think he'd like it. Yeah.
No, I mean, he's probably unaware of it. But the concept of what America is,
yeah,
it's bigger than that.
Hopefully be around longer than
him. Yeah, absolutely.
And everything.
So you can't knock back the people because you're not into the president.
That's it.
It just feels weird. It's just a very odd thing to even say, to even contemplate.
Hands, particularly in terms of jingoism and everything, you know, it's like... You say, well, it's like saying, I consider myself a big part of Europe, so I'm not going to the continental mainland anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, if you think of yourself as a citizen of the world,
then
you've got to be prepared to visit.
Absolutely, yeah. You've got to be prepared to go and see it. I wonder whether it'll probably change the course so it goes past Trump Towers.
Yeah.
So, just a matter of time before it does.
Absolutely. Right now... Running in the new year, running for the first time. Some people hate running outside.
Yeah.
And some people love running on a running machine. But for me, I started running on a running machine and did for a few months, I suppose.
Right.
Before I trusted myself to go outside.
Yeah.
And when I ran outside, it was an epiphany.
Yes.
I so preferred it.
Yeah, I mean...
Because that thing we were saying about distraction and a little jump, there's just so much to see.
Yeah,
it just distracts you from the effort of the running.
I find running on a treadmill way harder than running outside.
Yes.
I mean, we've run 5 miles this podcast, 10 miles today.
Yeah.
If I get to, like, 3 miles on a treadmill, I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I find it so tough.
It's because your front brain is there all the time.
Yes.
Concentrating on how far you've gone, staying on the machine.
Yeah.
I find that the fundamental trick with running, even when you're running really well, even when you're doing your intense training runs, you still have to accept some extent to try and forget that you're running.
There's a bit of disassociation going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Dissociation is exactly the thing.
Yeah.
It's not pretending to yourself it's not happening. It's separating it out.
When you feel fit and well, most people, imagine, can reach a stage where they can run for, say, 5K. And it's just like a walk once you get reasonably fit.
Yeah.
But obviously it's much more beneficial. And that's outside is much better. For
and
your
also,
thinking, for your meditative thoughts. And
it makes me love. I used to think, well, it'd be better when I go to the country. And nowadays I love running in the country.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, running up mountains or whatever. It's brilliant. But Running in a city is gorgeous.
Yeah.
You plan it, you go to good places, parks, towpaths like today.
It's a different way of experiencing it as well, isn't it?
That's right, you see it from a new angle.
Yeah.
And I think that sense of dissociation is really at the heart of what's good about running.
Yeah.
If you're trying it for the first time, you want to get into it.
Yeah.
For me, it really is about taking yourself, your emotional, you know, volatile, thinking, intellectual teenager inside.
Yeah.
And then taking your kind of primal self, your body, the kind of master computer, and saying, yeah, all right, mate.
Yeah.
You're feeling tired? Well, we're still running.
Yeah.
You're miserable? Don't matter, we're running.
And there's always more in that.
Yeah, you're happy and excited. It's no difference.
You're
running, you know. It kind of reduces your own volatility.
Yeah, it's never as...
Thank you.
Dragged out of the way. It's never as... dramatic as you think.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of, you get lost in your own psychodrama. I'm really tired.
Yeah,
you can often get through that.
Absolutely.
And I find it way easier to do that outside.
That's why running is genuinely, you know, medically recognised antidepressant. It just winds the immensity of everything back a little bit.
Yes, yeah, that's interesting, yeah. Makes it more manageable.
Yeah. And yet, I think if you do that without the running, it can be a little bit depressing in itself. So, you know, things seem terrible or brilliant, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're running, it's more positive than that. It's like, but I'm okay with it.
There's something about the movement, isn't there? About what movement gives you. That thing of like, I never really make New Year's resolutions. That's just sort of basic philosophical ideas like move more, eat less, or
good.
Do you know what I mean? Just simple stuff.
This we're finishing now in Newington Green, which is a lovely spot, and you know, I hope that you have got inspiration with your marathon training or your running or whatever it might be.
And tell us what you're up to as well. Tell us what you're up to.
Absolutely.
Let's share the year. Let's
keep
all our adventures.
Because we started this, well, exactly a year ago when you're listening to this.
Yeah.
We started doing this running commentary in this little square, this little green, in these weather conditions. And it's not getting old, is it? You know, it just feels like it's a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do
stay
in this conversation with us, because we'll be having it
as we change, you know, because we're changing. It's also charting our different relationships to running, isn't it?
Yeah.
As it changes, it's really... It's part of the process, doing the podcast and the feedback you get.
And funny enough, I'd forgotten you, going right back to the last week's, the beginning of this run, talking about my knee. You know, after my first half marathon, couldn't run anymore. I had a really stiff knee. And I started running just around this green.
Yeah.
Which, as Paul will tell you, it's small. You know,
it's a small, yeah.
Is a really short run. I think it was actually quite difficult running around it lots of times because, you know, you've got to put together a few for it to be worthwhile. And yet, here we are.
Yeah.
It's all good. So, yeah, what's give me that New Year's resolution again.
Well, it was just move more, eat less.
Yeah. Good.
For me, yeah.
I think it's good
for
anyone.
Just basic move more, eat less, yeah.
I am going to try, and this is the big challenge.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and come up with a way of drinking.
Right.
For the foreseeable future. I'd like to be able to say, I rarely drink.
Right.
Yeah. So rather than giving up completely, binging.
I know what you're saying.
No, I'm not drinking today, and do it like day by day, and not drink most days.
Yeah.
And then have a nice drink, and then have one more, and then stop.
Yeah.
Basically, trying for moderation.
As opposed to that binge thing, because I'm a bit bingy. Yeah.
Yeah. Binge drinking is. I mean, it's a great way for society to label basically how everyone drinks already.
Yes.
So, should you get a picture of me, you and Mary? What's your New Year's resolution, Mary? I'm going to try and get feminism back on the agenda after, you know, it's taken a bit of a knockback since Gamergate. we'll just have to let you know about all the rest of it.
Yeah, and we've got guests coming up. We've got Bryony next week.
Yes,
she's chatting about running. She's written a book recently.
She's great for the new year. Sophie Rayworth, and see if
we can get
her on tape.
Athletes, writers, we're after them all.
Johnny Marr, I'd like to talk
Johnny
to
Marr's
Johnny
on the wish list. Yeah,
although you know, I'll have to be honest about I might end up on that one going, really like the really guitar like, on one of the, I can't remember which one it is.
Might be a bit of a Muso special, yeah.
I've never run with my guitar.
Yeah, do you mind?
But if you want
jam?
To, yeah. If you want to, if you've got any questions, even if they're boring ones, I will answer them online or on here. We want to know. And if there's anything you need from us, anywhere you want us to run. We've got, every time you say you must come and run with us here down in this place, we always put them on the list and we'll get there in the end.
Yeah, it's just timings,
isn't it? Around, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah, it's just it's timings, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's timings and gigs.
Yeah.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Running with Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Cut.